Well, I told you this evening was going to be the last of the messages that I wanted us to share with this thought of remembering different things. I think tonight is about our ninth one. I'd have to check on my, pardon? Subject? I didn't hear what.
You're right.
I'm right. Okay, sounds right. Okay. I thought it was number nine. Anyway, I told you that we will be starting something different in a couple of weeks. Why a couple of weeks? Well, next Sunday is Communion Sunday, and we have not done this for a while, but we're going to take the whole evening service working toward the Communion service. The following Sunday, Jerry and I are going to be gone. We're going up to see Jeremy and his family up in the UP. Actually, on that Sunday, we'll be driving home. Dr. Mark Snowberger will be with you 2 weeks from today, both morning and evening. And so that takes us to about 3 weeks from tonight, I guess will be the next time I'm back in the pulpit. And we're going to start a topic having to do with choices we make. Do choices make a difference? They sure do, don't they? And that's the new topic we'll pick up 3 weeks from tonight, the next time I'm here with you. Lord willing, that is, and weather permitting. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? We are thankful, Father, that we can be here tonight, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the chance we have to turn to it this evening and recognize some commendable individuals, even ones that we want to remember for how they served you. And I pray that you would glorify yourself in our midst. We thank you for the desire of each of these to come, even though it is an unpleasant and uncomfortable evening. But we thank you for their heart's desire. Thank you now in your name. Amen. It's a common thing to remember heroes, and by the way, that's our title, Remembering Heroes, tonight. What do you mean it's a common thing? Well, Memorial Day, we often remember heroes, don't we? As we think of our nation and those that have given their lives for our country's sake. The whole chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is a recollection of heroes of the faith. And it's an excellent chapter as you read through that. And as we think about the Lord's service, the Lord's work, there are a number of individuals that we could choose to remember as far as the record that we have here, but I've selected a few that we might look at this evening, and I trust their lives, their testimony, will be a challenge to each of us. And I have been given special word, make sure you don't go past time because it is too hot tonight. So I'm watching the time, and I remembered what you said, Jerry. Okay? All right. What's that? Well, I have no secrets. Maybe she does. Okay. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark chapter 12, 41 through 44. For you note takers, you can also find this account in Luke 21, 1 through 4. Well, here we see the story as Mark recorded it. In Mark 12, beginning at verse 41, and Jesus sat over or opposite the treasury is what that means, over against the treasury. And he beheld. how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites. Now, those weren't little bugs. These were coins that they had. 2 mites, which would make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily or truly, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. As Jesus was teaching in the temple, answering questions directed toward him, those questions were mostly being directed to him by the unbelieving religious leaders. Jesus noticed an event which was taking place, and it's something which we probably would have even overlooked as insignificant. But to our Lord, it was very significant, so much so that the Lord chose to make an object lesson out of it. The offering of a nameless widow. Who is this woman? What was her name? We'll never know. And that doesn't matter, because down through Christian history, this nameless woman has been remembered by the Lord's people for generations, even though we don't know her name. We see here the surprising announcement. The surprising announcement in this first event. What was the surprising announcement? It's in verse 43. And the announcement was this: Truly I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which cast into the treasury. How can that be? Especially when we go back to verse 41, and in verse 41, we find it tells us that many that were rich cast in much. How can it be? She only threw in 2 mites. Now, the Liberty Study Bible said that 2 mites, or a farthing, is approximately 1/4 of a penny. 1/4 of a penny in our economy. How much is that? That's not much. Most people don't even bother to pick up pennies when they see them on the road. I do. If I'm walking along and I see something that resembles money, you can trust, I'll bend down and pick it up. If it's there, thank you, Lord. Well, and even pennies. Well, as we look at this, as far as the quantity of the gifts, there was no comparison, was there? the many that were rich cast in much. She cast in not even a penny. But the Lord said, she's cast in more than they. How can that be? B, let's notice his qualifying explanation. The qualifying explanation in verse 44, he explains himself. He says, for all they did cast in out of their what? Abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now it's hard to imagine when it says she cast in all her living, we would translate that she even cast in what she needed for her necessities to buy her food or meet her needs. It's hard to imagine how much would a quarter of a penny buy. Well, we weren't living back then. Obviously, those little mites, it would enable the poor to purchase something. And the Lord Jesus said, she gave in, she put in more as he explained it. He said, most of them, they, all the rest of them, it says, all they, not most, forgive me, that was a misspoken. All they did cast in of their abundance. What's that mean? The extra? I won't miss it. I can give this to the church, the temple. I don't need it. I'll do my thing. It's expected of me. Let's see, I don't have any bills to pay. Oh, yeah. The Lord was the one that said, they cast in out of their abundance. In other words, what they were doing was not going to be, if we could use this word, painful to them in any way, was it? It was not going to put them in any sort of a hardship. They weren't going to suffer any loss. Sure, I can give that to the church. But she, out of her necessity, or she cast in all that she had, even everything she had to live on. From this we remember the scripture, and it's a consistent theme, that God is more interested in the hearts than he is the heaps. He's more interested in the hearts than what might be seen, the heaps. Remember the Lord's words to Samuel when he was selecting someone to replace Saul. And God had indicated to Samuel, after God had rejected six of David's brothers, God had told Samuel, I'm going to select, I can't remember David's dad's name,
Jesse.
I'm going to select one of his sons to be the king to replace King Saul. And here was David, ruddy. He was a youth. Ruddy, what's that mean? He was like Margot, a redhead. He was redheaded, probably freckled face. Most redheads are freckled. And a boy. But in that seventh verse of 1 Samuel 16, the Lord gave Samuel a very important scriptural principle. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? Upon our hearts. And as Jesus sat there and he observed what was going on, and he was making an illustration out of this woman, we find the Lord made this surprising announcement. He gave the qualifying explanation, and it was because hers was a sacrificial giving instead of a show or a surplus or something they could spare and not miss it. The Lord was far more pleased and glorified. Perhaps you wonder why I have selected her and designated her as a hero to remember tonight. The answer is here in verse 44. She cast in all that she had. And that's why she's a hero. She gave to the Lord all that she had. In my mind, that is a hero. How many of us give all that we have to the Lord when the opportunity faces us? People often ask, how much should I give? How much should I give? The better question should be, how should I give? How should I give? Not how much should I give, but back to the Lord, but how should I give? I don't understand what you're saying, Pastor. Then let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in a very familiar portion of Scripture, I want us to notice, we begin at the first verse. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, the love of Christ, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but there's no love in my heart for the Lord and for His people, I'm nothing. And here we go. How should I give? Verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, kind of like that woman. She gave all that she had, even her necessities. And here Paul is saying, though I bestow, here's a food drive, here's a collection basket, though I give all that I bestow or have to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but I don't do it with love. He says, you know what? It profits me nothing. God is not glorified in that kind of giving. Obviously, the Lord saw her motive was right, and he recognized her for it. Hero number one. But let's take a look at another hero in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, and in Mark's account, oh, for you note takers, you can find this also in Matthew 26, 6 through 13, and in John 12, 1 through 8. We've chosen Mark's rendition of it. And Mark's verses are verses 3 through 9 of Mark 14. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. That was perfume, a certain fragrance. And it was very expensive. She broke the box, or the bottle, we would have it in our day and age, and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. And they said, why was this waste of the ointment perfume made? Why, it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. My Bible says $132. And have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Stop it. Why are you troubling her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For number one, he looked at those men that were speaking in behalf of the poor. He said, you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you want to do them any good, you can. But me, you have not always. I'm not always going to be here. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand or ahead of time to anoint my body for its burial. Truly, verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. She's going to be remembered down through the ages for what she has done. The Lord even predicted that. Well, let's examine this one. It said it was in the house of Simon the leper. We're not really sure who that was. As you compare John's account in John chapter 12, it was suggested again by the Liberty Study Bible that it was probably Mary, Martha, and Lazarus's father. If you wonder where that came from, well, you look at John's account, and if you don't like it, write the Liberty Study people and tell them, I don't get where you got that. I'm just suggesting what someone that had made that it very well could have been in their house, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The Lord was there often, you know. And perhaps their father was Simon, a leper. But let's notice the text. A, her actions were criticized and questioned by the disciples. Her actions were questioned and criticized by the disciples of the Lord. We saw it there in verses 4 and 5. They had indignation within themselves. They were ticked. They were offended. They were upset. Why? We see they considered it a waste. They considered it an extravagance. 300 pence. They were murmuring. Perhaps they even suggested, she's doing this for a show. Everybody knows this was an expensive perfume. And she probably thought she'd just do it for a show, that people might be impressed. Whoa! Look at that. Perhaps a show. It could have been sold for 300 denarii. We're told that that 300 pence or denarii was the average income of a rural worker in those days. That she has wasted a year's income by pouring this ointment on his head. What a waste. What a waste. But we notice B, her actions were defended and commended by the Lord. People might question and criticize it, but the Lord, knowing the motives of her heart, defended and commended it. In verse 6, we see he says, stop it, men. What she did was good. You're criticizing her. She hath wrought a good work on me. In verse 7, he responded to their objections by just, in a sense, reprimanding them by saying, don't try to show your piety and your interest in the poor, because you've got the poor around you everywhere we go. And you know, men, anytime you're feeling sorry for the poor, you can give to the poor anytime you want to. You read between the lines and you can almost hear the Lord saying, I haven't been seeing any of you men reaching in your pockets and giving them any of your income. They're everywhere, the poor. You'll always have them, but you won't always have me. Why was she a hero? Verse 8 tells us, she hath done what she could. She hath done what she could for me. How many here could have the same thing spoken of us and our service for the Lord. How many of us could it be said, you know, I won't mention any names, but put your name in that spot. You know, God bless her. God bless him. He, she did what they could for me at Hiawatha. For my name's sake. She's a hero. And the Lord said, in the coming ages, any time the gospel is given out, what she's done is going to be remembered. And what a challenge this woman is to me, and I trust to you. The first woman is a hero because she gave to the Lord what she could. And she didn't have much. But the Lord saw the motive of her heart and he said, God bless you. This second one is a hero because she did what she could and she didn't hold back. Oh, I'm not so sure I want to. I'm not so sure. I mean, I saved up money a long time to buy this. I don't know that I really want to. I don't know that I really want to just devote myself to the Lord. I've got things I've been wanting to do. I mean, if I say yes to the Lord, what if he asks me to do this, do that? I don't know whether I better just do what I can for the Lord. I'll give him a little bit. I'll do a little bit for him. She was a hero because she did all she could. And the Lord blessed her for it. One more. One more. And we see this one is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. In 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, we know it's the last epistle that Paul wrote before he lost his head to the assassin's sword who cut off his head in prison for his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and his faithful service. His last words, and I believe Paul, knowing that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, left this testimony for us. Verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, not just something special for Paul, but he says, unto all them that love his appearing. Why do I select Paul as a hero? I'll tell you why. I've selected him as a hero because he completed the assignments God gave him. He completed the assignments God gave him. Note takers, you can write this down or just write the reference down. Let me read it for you. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, the tail end of it, the Lord on the road to Damascus said this, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. This was when the Lord struck him to his knees with that bright light on the road to Damascus. And the words of the Lord says, Saul, go into the city and you will be told what you must do. In that same chapter of Acts chapter 9, Ananias was told in verse 15, go your way. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I've got plans for this man. Ananias objected, you know, because of Paul's reputation. And the Lord said, go. He's a chosen vessel of mine, and I've got big plans for this man. To Timothy, in our text here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, what'd Paul tell us? In verse 6, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul had previously, you remember, to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 1, said, you know, I'm kind of in a quandary. I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place. You know, I'd really like to just go and be with the Lord, because absent from the body, and I would be present with Him. But I know there's a lot more for me to do, even in your behalf. And so I'm torn, and I know I've got to stay. If you want to know what I just wish I'd die in this prison, as he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 1. Now, years later, he writes to Timothy, and he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure, my homegoing, it's here. It's near. He told Timothy, I have fought a good fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul had written to Timothy, and he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and have professed a good profession before me. Timothy, fight the fight. Was he somebody that just told people what you ought to do but didn't practice it? No. In his last letter, he writes to Timothy, to whom he had said, fight the good fight of faith. To Timothy, his beloved son, and he says, I've fought a good fight. We see here, I've finished my course. I've finished my course. The Lord had plans for me. As Paul spoke to the Ephesian church on the seashore in Acts chapter 20, just listen, write the reference down. You can check later. Acts 20, 22 to 24. And now as he spoke to those believers there, he said, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. I'm not really sure what's ahead of me, except this. The Holy Spirit witnesses in every city has been telling me, everywhere I've been going on my way, that bonds and afflictions are waiting for me. And then he says, but you know what? None of those things move me. They don't affect me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Can you imagine the joy that it is going to be for the Apostle Paul at the judgment seat of Christ when the Lord looks at him and says, Paul, what a blessing. What a great reward you have because you not only fought a good fight, but you finished the course I gave you. You didn't drop off somewhere along the way and say, I've had it. I've had enough of this stuff. But you stayed in the battle and you finished the course I laid out for you. And you also kept the faith. You did not compromise. You did not try to rewrite it. You did not try to diminish its truthfulness. In 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20, we see here he says to Timothy, this charge I commit unto you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, hang on to it, Timothy, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And he names two, Hymenaeus and Alexander. They didn't hold the faith. They didn't stay true to the Lord. And he says, Timothy, hold the faith. And as Paul concludes his last words to Timothy, he said, I kept the faith. I kept the faith. Why are we remembering Paul as a hero tonight? Because he completed the task God gave him to do. May I suggest if the man Paul could do it, so can we. How could this unnamed widow, who was a hero and she gave everything she had to the Lord and got his blessing, how could she do that? How could this woman pour out all that expense on the head of our Lord by doing everything that she could? How could Paul complete the tasks that God gave him? It was by God's grace. And the desire of the heart of each of these to do what I can, give what I can, complete my tasks for the glory of the Lord. We too could be examples. I wonder if we will be someday. I wonder if someday, if the Lord tarries and we're laid below the grass, and as people, our name comes up, I wonder if anything like any of these things might be said of you or me. Boy, that so-and-so, what a blessing for the Lord. They gave everything they had to the Lord. They did everything they could for the Lord. And they never stopped short as long as the Lord gave them breath. Let's close in prayer as we stand. Father, we thank you for these heroes. No new passages, no new stories. but the reminders that challenge our hearts. May we take these challenges and examples to our hearts. For your glory we pray. May we be trophies for your glory and honor. In your name we pray. Amen.